Hello, everyone. My name is Brennan Galloway. I'm a member here at First Family Church. Been going here for about 3 years, whatnot. Loving the fellowship that I'm able to get, and even the preaching on Sundays. And I hope to be able to bring you guys a blessing of a message today. So hopefully, you'll be able to take a lot from it. And thank you all for coming today. All right. So if you guys have Bibles ready to be read and open, I'm going to be reading out of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. It says here, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes to the north. Around goes the wind and its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the stream flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun." So the main focus for us today is verses 2 and 3, which is vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. The word vanity here is reference to nothingness, worthlessness, meaningless. Or as a good modern phrase that we all use is dead, right? No one gets dead and says, "Whoa, man, this is great. Got some dead today. Wow, and a lot of it. So much of it, right?" We all look and dread debt because it doesn't bring us any good. As a matter of fact, it only brings us problems, right? But we ask ourselves, in the purpose of what is vanity, why is the preacher here saying vanity of vanities? What is that talking about? What's that meaning there? In the Bible, in order to make emphasis, they didn't have punctuations like exclamation points or bold or, you know, saying it like a lot of letters, right? The way the Bible repeats emphasis is by repeating a word. So that's why when you read the verse, it says vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That is like the modern equivalent of me saying that my friend Joe is the husband of husbands. What does that mean about Joe's worth as a husband? It means that he's not just a husband, but man, he's the husband to like be able to get, right? So if the preacher here is talking about vanity, he's not talking about these things as in they're meaningless or worthless. They are the supreme worthlessness. But notice the next verse he talks about. What does man gain by all of his toil or work, right? Of course, a lot of us know what gain means, right? We all like that word. It's a nice word, right? Profit, benefits, you know, usefulness, right? We all love, like, if we're running a business, we all want to be on the positive side, right? Making more of an income than we have in our expenses, right? But he asked this critical question. What does man gain for all of his work at which he does under the sun? That is a term, under the sun is a term to refer to working on this side of heaven, working on the earth, right? So he's asking the question, how much does a man profit? How much does he make at the end of his days after all the work he's done in all of his life? Some may say, maybe a decent living, made a decent profit. Others may say, nah, he's probably going to be a millionaire, billionaire, living the life, right? But that's kind of the question that we got to be able to see. But before we kind of get to the answer of that question, we must first be able to see for ourselves, what does the world say is profitable? Does anybody have any ideas? What does the world say? You're living a beneficial life if you have A, B, and C. Do you have any examples?
But it's not all about money either. Feeling good about yourself.
Okay, that's a good one. If you feel good about yourself, you're living a profitable life. Okay. How about two more? There's a lot of stuff, right? One of them is obviously the most common one, as was mentioned, is if you have the house, the nice car? How about an education, right? If you get these things, then you're living a purposeful, meaningful life, a profitable life. Okay, well, some of us may have those things, may have a house, may have a car, may have the, you know, bachelor's degree, master's degree, right, in our education. But here's the question. Once you finally got those things, did you feel satisfied? Did you feel happy, or did you still feel lacking, right? For a lot of us, if we have gone there, it's our own little dreams that we all had. We've all had aspires. May not have been able to gain everything we wanted, but we've gotten some things that we wanted. But then after we got it, we then said to ourselves, man, still feel empty. Still feel like I need more. And that's what the preacher's talking about here, is that we all have this narrative that the world pushes onto us to make us believe you get those things or whatever other things, anything in the world, that it will be profitable. But the preacher here says it's actually all the supreme message of vanities, right? This is a way to say, if we all love credit cards, right? We all know what credit cards do and their purpose, right? Everybody gets excited when they have a credit card. Why? Because they could get what they want now rather than having to work the hard labor to get it later. So when they finally get to get a nice credit card, $5,000 credit limit, they're able to get this nice new surround sound speaker system, right? That they know they can't afford, right? Are they living a profitable life at that moment? We'll say no, but that person, right, that makes that big purchase that they know they shouldn't be making, they'll be feeling real profitable right then and there, right? Until what? Until the bill comes. And if you don't pay the bill, then what happens? Yeah? They take it back, send it to collections, and then you realize that that surround sound system you just bought is actually bringing you a lot more grief than a lot more pleasure. And that's what we're talking about here, is the fact that at the end of the day, we're all going to have to talk to the debt collector at one point or another. And the question is our account going to be in the profit margin, or are we going to be in debt? Right? Of course, I'm talking about the final day of reckoning, judgment day, where Jesus Christ will come to judge both the living and the dead. And he's going to judge us by our works for all of our toil under the sun. And he's going to ask us if we have become profitable or if we actually have not, right? And so that's why we're going to go ahead and talk about the aspect in Luke chapter 6. So if you want to go there to Luke chapter 6, I'm going to read here. And it's going to be starting in verse... Here we go. So, here it is. It's going to be starting at verse 20. Notice Jesus Christ is going to be teaching here about this aspect. Remember, we talked about vanities and profit, right? Jesus says here, lost my spot. There we go. Found it. Okay. Verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. So we'll stop there for a bit. One example Jesus says here is blessed. That means, how happy is God with you? God is pleased with you. Or really, it's, to really mean the true aspect is true happiness, true joy. Blessed are you when you are poor. Now, a lot of us may think, what the heck? I've achieved my truest happiness when I am poor? How many of us here love being poor? Right? Right? Exactly. No, it's not a fun feeling, but yeah, Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Those who are poor are those who will inherit all that God inherits. So what does God own? Everything, right? So for those who have nothing will actually be the ones in the end to actually gain, profit, everything. Now, of course, here Jesus is not talking about being literally poor and homeless. He's talking about what you bring to the table, what you think will be profitable, what will please God or not. We all have our works. Remember that toiling under the sun? We all have our works that we think or may not already know maybe bring a profit. But what does God say about all of our work under the sun? Any ideas? If he was to judge us by our best day, do you think we would be in the profit margin or in debt? In debt, actually, right? For God has said in the Old Testament, for all of our righteous deeds, our best works are as filthy rags. A more literal aspect of it is a used washcloth for a woman's menstrual cycle. Like I said, I don't think I'm going to be using that to wash myself or wash my hands with, right? Because that's very obviously worthless of a washcloth. But that's how he views our best deeds. Because God's standards of our obedience is to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is essentially equating us to be living a perfect life. And to never disregard his commands for even one moment. But I know I have done that. And I'm sure all of us would know that we've all definitely made mistakes, which shouldn't be a pleasing thought, but should be a very terrifying thought. But there is somebody who was able to make the profit for us. That is Jesus Christ himself, who actually came on the earth 2,000 years ago and lived the perfect life and was perfectly obedient to all of God's commandments, but yet died a criminal's death. But not for any sins that he committed, but for all the sins that all those who put their trust and faith in him have committed. And he gives us what is known as the great exchange, that he gives his great profit margin and takes our debt and puts in our account his profit margin. So by Christ alone, we are able to be profitable. By Christ alone, we realize, as he says here, that we are poor. That when we see the Lord on judgment day and he says, "Why should I let you to my kingdom?" We will tell him, not by any works of my own, for it's all worthless, but by the works of Jesus Christ to let me in. Because of him alone, I'm able to have good standing with you, and I give you all the glory, right? But notice how Jesus flips it around here, right? Because the first aspects he talks about, blessed are you who are poor, hungry, weeping, and even are hated, right? Are these all things that we all love to be able to have right now? Right, we naturally don't like to cry. We naturally don't like people to hate us. We want people to love us. And we don't like being hungry. But if we're hungry, he says, we shall be full, right? If we weep, we shall laugh. And if we are hated, we will be loved by God. Very counterintuitive. But watch how he flips it around, though. Look at this next part. He says, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your reward. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Woe is the opposite of blessed. It means cursed are you, or let God's wrath abide on you. Let God's judgment fall on you, right? And to who are these people? People who are rich, people who are full all the time, people who laugh at people who are loved by everybody. So on those qualities, are they living their best life now? What do you think? Yeah, right? They're definitely living their best life now. But guess what? As Jesus would say, essentially, better enjoy it because what's coming, trust and believe, you definitely going to be in the debt margin. Largely so, right? Like I said, we could all live on credit card, and we could probably bring that nice lifestyle living on a credit card debt for about 10 years. But reality will hit, and we'll realize it wasn't worth it, right? So let me go ahead and wrap it up here to show what is the purpose of our life to be able to see the joys and riches that Jesus Christ would bring to us. I'm going to be reading out of Philippians chapter 3, and this is the Apostle Paul going to be reading this now. He says, starting at verse 4, He says, "For we are circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in the Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself may have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more so. I was circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was the Hebrew of Hebrews. As to law, I was a Pharisee. And as to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. And as to righteousness under the law, I was blameless." Right? Essentially, Paul's talking about, if anyone has reason to believe that they can make it on their own effort and work under the sun, the Apostle Paul says, I will be first in place. Like, if there's anyone to have confidence that they will make it on Judgment Day based off their own work ethic, that'd be me. But notice here, he says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." So you see there, the Apostle Paul said, yeah, I had all these things I took my hope in, my joy in, my benefit in. I thought they were all precious and profitable things. But when I got to know Jesus, I realized all things else were worthless. Matter of fact, all things else actually brought me in debt. And the only one who actually brings me into the profit margin and on God's side, and for myself to experience the true joy in the Lord, is by getting to know Jesus Christ. So the question is here, do you know Jesus Christ? And if you do, do you seek to know him and increase your profit margin? Because there's nothing that will make you more richer, more blessed, more joyful than to be able to know your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, more and more. And that is it. Thank you.